Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. It is a special privilege for us to be able to provide this broadcast each Sunday morning for your listening enjoyment and inspiration. Our broadcast is enjoyed by many different people in our area and community. We are grateful for your support. We thank you for your prayers and your financial gifts as well. Radio CJMQ covers a wide area. We have regular listeners in the eastern townships of Quebec and also in the states of Vermont and New Hampshire. We welcome your questions and comments. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. And you can access the program on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you, and welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace here on CJMQ, here in the Eastern Townships of Quebec. My name is Nigel Parker, and I'm the minister of the congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke. Welcome to you. Whatever your church connection may be, and indeed whether you have a church connection or not. Sunday the 19th of December brings us to the fourth and last Sunday in Advent for this year. If we were in a church, we would be lighting the fourth candle, the candle of love. We might also be hearing these words from the book of the prophet Micah. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times.
Silent stars go by,
go by.
Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Yes. All
hopes and fears of all the years are met with thee tonight.
Let us pray. Loving God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who remembers small places and small people, out-of-the-way towns and the kind of folks that people don't notice. We thank you for remembering Bethlehem, Nazareth. We thank you for remembering Mary and Elizabeth. And especially we thank you for remembering us, that in a world where we perhaps feel that we don't count for much, we don't have much to offer, you come to us in Jesus Christ to be our Saviour. Lord, make our hearts leap with joy, fill our mouths with songs of praise, and may we announce your glad tidings of peace and welcome the Christ child into our midst. Loving God, you've chosen the weak to put the powerful to shame. Give us the courage of those who've gone before us. Encourage us to rise above that which is simply run-of-the-mill and normal, and beyond that which is comfortable, to confront the future not with fear and dread, but with thanks and praise. Loving God, forgive us that we have been frequently negative and defeatist in the face of new challenges brought by your Holy Spirit. Forgive us that we've been worried too much about what friends and neighbours and workmates may say about our faith, and not enough about your perfect will for us. Forgive us that we've been slow to obey, reluctant to admit our errors, or too proud to seek your grace. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Gracious God, you offer forgiveness to the penitent and new strength to the weak. And so we rejoice that you have done great things for us. You humble the proud and you lift up those who are cast down. Those who think themselves rich are sent away, but the hungry are filled with good things. Great mercy is on those who honour him from generation to generation and forever. Thank you, Lord, that our sins are forgiven. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Have you noticed how everyone loves the songs of Christmas? Year after year, the same timeless songs come round back again just after Thanksgiving. In the churches, of course, we've got our own beloved carols, songs like Silent Night, O Come All Ye Faithful, Hark the Herald, Angels Sing, and Away in a Manger. And in the secular world, we've got endless songs about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Jingle Bells and Santa's Little Helpers. We can hear these songs in radio stations, in elevators, at the mall, and even when we're on hold during phone calls. The music of the season is everywhere. Even folks who don't have a live church connection can remember from their childhood songs of Christmas carols and can find themselves just singing away little songs as they catch a snippet just on the radio or something like that. These very special songs of the season help to shed some of God's light into a very dark and hopeless world. Thank you. Reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, at verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfil his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Amen. Who do you run to when you've got a crisis? Who do you go to when something has gone wrong or something perplexing has happened in your life? We human beings are not self-sufficient, especially in the crises of life. It's good to have someone to turn to advice, because let's face it, we're all going to meet some dilemma or other when we'll feel confused and uncertain. Of course, we're still responsible for our own decisions, but it's often beneficial to bounce off ideas and problems with somebody else, especially somebody if they share our own faith perspective, somebody who's trodden the same path in their own spiritual pilgrimage, who can stand back and appraise the situation and give confidential advice. Nowadays, this person could be known as a mentor or a counsellor, but could easily be a pastor or a minister or an elder. Mary certainly had a lot to talk over with Elizabeth. Mary had been visited by a heavenly being, the Archangel Gabriel. "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Well, she was troubled. Why did he address her if she was something or someone of importance? A few moments ago, she'd felt herself to be the happiest girl in town. She was going to be the bride of the man she loved. But now some strange otherworldly being had singled her out for a role she was utterly unprepared for. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God." He went on to tell her that she was going to have a baby, but no ordinary baby. She was going to give birth to the Son of the Most High, and he would be given the throne of his father David. His kingdom will never end. This was astonishing, mind-blowing indeed, we might say. So no wonder she goes off to see her older cousin Elizabeth, someone perhaps she'd been to in times before. If God were taking applications from ladies to be the one to give birth to and raise his son, how many people would pick Mary? She was young. She was poor. She was going to marry a man who himself was poor. There was no prospect ahead of her. Why choose her? But the Lord had set his choice upon her, and that's what made her special. Not for what was in her, but what was in the Lord's choosing there. And so it was that after speaking with Elizabeth and sharing their stories, it was that Mary, as it were, burst into song, a song that we use in the church called the Magnificat. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." But what a time to be singing songs, because Mary's song came from a troubled heart. We in the churches know the song and how much it speaks and glorifies God. But stop and consider for a moment the circumstances Mary found herself in. Yes, she may be highly favoured of the Lord, but being a pregnant teenage girl in the Middle Eastern culture of a day did not bring any favour from her neighbours. It's quite possible that Mary could have been accused of adultery, and going the full length of the law, she could have been stoned. So it was that hardship, trial and temptation, struggle, illness and more would rob us and her of our song. But Mary chose to place her faith in our God, who will walk with us through every one of life's ups and downs. Has something been stealing your song in these past days? Something pressing upon your spirit and taking away your joy? Then do what Mary did. What did Mary do? She focused on God's greatness and not her circumstances. Many scholars believe that Mary knew lots of verses in the Old Testament scriptures. She read them, she understood them, she memorized them, she turned them over in her heart. She didn't sing a song based on a casual knowledge of God or some wishful thinking. She worshipped God from a deep understanding of his character and action. You see, Mary knew that God was the God who extends mercy, who lifts the humble, who fills the hungry, and remembers his promise to his people. As we look at Mary's position in life, one must once again see that God is not concerned with one's status in the world before he uses a person for his glory. For too many people think that they're too damaged or in some way too messed up for God to love them. Mary shows us once again that God does not look at people the way that people look at people. What does Mary do? She magnifies the Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord. She makes his name great. He makes him bigger. In the midst of all her potential problems, the ridicule and prospective divorce, Mary chose to make God bigger and trust him in her circumstances. After all, she has nothing to be ashamed of or to be afraid of. She is with child by the will of God and through the Holy Spirit. I once heard someone say, "Stop telling God how big your problems are and begin telling your problems how big God is." What would happen if we made up our minds to begin to see God as bigger than our problems? How differently would our day-to-day faith be if we would make this our goal? That when money is tight, we prayed. When children are sick, we prayed. When the job is shaky, we prayed. When the diagnosis is not good, we prayed. How do we do this? Well, we pray. And another element is to praise. When we praise God, we make God bigger. And when God becomes bigger, our problems return to their proper proportions. What would happen if we were determined to give thanks in all things? Just like Mary, our praise should come out of a deep place where we, by faith, know that God is in control, that he has and will take care of his own, that he has and will keep his promises. Let us pray. Almighty God, however much we call you Almighty God, we can never make you big enough, for you are God beyond all praising. In the ancient days you founded the earth, and you promised mercy to Abraham and his offspring for ever. And you've given the law to provide a way of repentance, and through the prophets you call people to justice and peace. And now you've come to us in your Son Jesus, at whose name even unborn babies rejoice. In him we've seen your promised ruler, who will establish your reign of peace. We rejoice that he lived a life amongst us, filling the hungry of good things and sending the greedy away empty. And at the last, though his enemies mocked him, scorned him, and killed him, by your strength you restored him to life by resurrection power. And now by your Spirit you restore us to newness of life by your resurrection power. God, we thank you for all those little people who've gone before us, who lived in out-of-the-way places and didn't think that they counted for much. Their trust in you gives us hope whenever our own faith wavers. May we be faithful in this generation, as Mary and Elizabeth were in theirs, so that our ministry and mission in Jesus' name will be renewed. We pray for those struggling with loss and discouragement this season, for those who have lost someone dear this past year, for those who cannot find meaningful work, and all for whom challenge and change make the future uncertain. Embrace them with your compassion and strength to persevere. We pray for those for whom sickness and death obscure your promise of health and salvation, and for those who've given up on themselves and on the goodness of others. We remember those who face conflict in their homes or their homelands, who wonder or fear what tomorrow may bring. We pray for the creation that has suffered from fire, storm, and earthquake this year, and for lives disrupted by drought and despair and disease. Loving God, as a challenging year comes to a close and a new year beckons, come to us and be with us once more as we celebrate the birth of Christ. With the tenderness of your Spirit, lighten our burdens and tune our hearts to sing your praise, that we may measure our problems by the largeness and the size of your grace and mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. You are welcome to join us every Sunday morning at 10:30 at our premises at 256 Queen Street. But on Christmas Eve, the 24th of December, the Friday evening, we have a candlelight service at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock Christmas Eve service, carols by candlelight at St Andrew's Presbyterian Church. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.